thank you all for tuning in and spending some time with me tonight. I'll be here again tomorrow night. We'll be talking about a strange demonic encounter in the last 2 hours of tomorrow night's show and time travel in the first 2 hours. Time travel, time slips, and weird time phenomena with Jeff Belanger. I wanted to begin this segment, if I could, with a thank you to the audience of Coast to Coast AM. You guys have always been so loving and supportive and written such kind things. And as George announced back on the 15th of November, I lost my mother to cancer. And it was brutal. It was a horrible experience and, you know, kind of a life-changing experience, putting you into a whole new world of reality and dealing with this. And I had kind of a life-altering and life-affirming awakening. Now, for those of you that have heard me on the show before and maybe listen to Darkness Radio, one of the things that's always kept me in motion with my search for understanding is what comes next because of my overwhelming fear of death. And when my grandfather died back in, I think it was about 1990, he was one of my closest people. He was my hero, my father figure in my life, and we lost him, and I was devastated for a long time. And I feared the day my mom would pass because how would I deal with that death? My mother and I were very close, best friends. She was one of my biggest support staff. As a matter of fact, one of my biggest cheerleaders when we began doing Darkness Radio 11 years ago, doing a show on the supernatural. She was one of my inspirations, always reading the books by Hans Holzer and Jay Anson and D. Scott Rogo. And boy, you mention it, we had the books around at one point or another. And fascinated by all turns of the paranormal. She was my biggest cheerleader. She was making copies of all of our shows and handing them out to friends and relatives and coworkers to spread our show to them. And I thought, boy, when my mom goes, I just don't know how I'm going to survive this. We got the rough news at the end of June that my mom was dealing with cancer, fourth stage lung cancer that had spread through most of her body. And it was devastating news, knowing that there was really no way back from what she was dealing with. And we all had to come to terms with that. My mom passed, surrounded in love, on November 15th. My father, myself, my oldest son, my daughter-in-law, and my beautiful grandbaby, we were all there holding her hand as she took her last breath. Surrounded in love, never wondering, you know, what we thought or what we felt. And I've had a strange experience with this death, expecting to be completely and utterly destroyed and devastated by this death. Something happened. Now, my first inclination right afterwards was pure anger and rage at God, at the universe, at everything for taking away my mother and my friend, my support. And it made no sense to me why a woman who had worked for Shriners Children's Hospital for children and in a neonatal intensive care unit and had spent 40 years of her life as a nurse helping others, why in her final time she would be robbed of more life, the chance to travel with my dad, the chance to go see the world and do amazing things. And I was angry and I was dejected and broken. And my good friend and co-host and producer of Darkness Radio reached out knowing that I was in a very dark place dealing with this and helped me to shift perspective. And the old saying that the things you look at, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will begin to change. And it made a deep impact in me. And he was able to help readjust my vision. And I started to look at things as my anger grew and I thought how my mom had been cheated. I looked at the fact that she really hadn't been cheated. My mom has been traveling the world with my dad for the last 30 years, has been to every state in the union and a couple other countries, has gone on cruises, has had a chance to do the things she loved while she was young and healthy. And she did it with the love of her life, my father. They've been together for 47 years and that was her world. She got that chance. It was amazing. So that alleviated some of my anger. And then I felt cheated by the fact that I'd never see my mother again. I'd never have that opportunity. And then I looked around and I realized that I'll see her forever in the faces of my seven children and my beautiful granddaughter. That smile, those eyes, that will always be a part of my world. I'll never forget that about her. I have all these fantastic memories. I was lucky enough, even though I felt cheated as she passed away just a week before my birthday, that I'd never get these chances again. And then I remembered, but I had 49 amazing years with my mom, my best friend, my biggest support, and I couldn't ask for more because those were great years. And then I started to wonder, why am I taking this so well? As I had messages pouring in email form from you, the Coast listeners, and my own listeners from Darkness Radio, and everyone saying this has got to be a horrible time for you and your birthday and your daughter's birthdays and Thanksgiving and these milestones are coming so quickly in succession, it's going to bring you down. And I wondered, is there something wrong with me? It's not bringing me down. Why do I feel eerily at peace? And then I realized the difference between what happened when my grandfather passed. It was sudden. It was quick. We never had that chance. Although we were a loving family, I never said the things I wanted to say to my grandfather. And when he died, I made sure that that would never happen again. So I've spent my life loving the people I love, caring about my friends and my family. And nobody ever wonders, what do I think? How do I feel about them? And that's what my mother and I had. We had this amazing moment of being able to share everything. Our thoughts, positive, negative, up and down, laugh together, cry together. We shared it. And now I'm at peace because I didn't have anything left unsaid. I didn't have any unresolved issues with my mom. And why do you need to talk about this, Dave? Well, because I think that in my lesson, I learned something that I would like the rest of you to share. Life is short. We all know that already. Our time is limited here, and we should make the best of it. And to love those people around us with reckless abandon, to just enjoy the life we have with the people that are in our circle. And if you have people in your circle that don't make you happy and make your life miserable, get them out of that circle, because life is too short for that nonsense as well. But make sure that the people around you know that you love them, know everything. There should be no reason to wait till they're on their deathbed to tell them how you feel, or regret after the fact and after they're gone that you wish you would have said this. I never had that with my mother. I will never have that with my children. My close friends and relatives know how I feel about them at all times, and that's the best gift that I've given not only to them but to myself. And it's given me peace beyond compare. So I hope that if anything could be taken away from this, coming from a man whose life has been centered around this terror of death, I have found a strange peace in losing a big part of my life, knowing that it'll never really be gone and that while we were here, we lived our life fully together and enjoyed every minute of it. And I hope that you'll take that away as well. So we just came off of a week of giving thanks and love to those around us. And sometimes we're frustrated by these holidays. There's so much agitation and pressure put on us to make everything perfect and right. And that's not what life's about. There's hiccups and mistakes, but we can laugh together. We can hold hands together. We can enjoy those moments instead of making them something to look back on or reflect upon in anger or frustration. Just love the moment you're in with the people that you surround your life with. And I hope that you'll take from that so that at the end of your loved one's journeys or your own, people don't feel the need to have to reach out to a James Von Prague or a John Edwards or a Sylvia Brown. They'll be able to know that that connection has already been made. Those things were said, and you don't need to reach out after life in order to make things right. Make it right while you have the chance. And that's all I can share with you this evening, but I wanted to thank you personally from the bottom of my heart for all of the encouraging emails and messages that you've sent me since the news of my mother's departure back on the 15th of November. It means more to me than you could possibly know. And the love and support I got from George Norrie and the cast and crew behind the scenes of Coast to Coast AM has touched me and my family very deeply. So I just wanted to make sure that I put that out there and thank everyone. And I hope that maybe in my words, you can find some peace for your life and find a new way to live. Love with reckless abandon, forgive always, and enjoy the life that you have. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. What did you think of our guest, Steph Young? What did you think of the crazy tales that she's collected for these 10 books? What's going on in the woods? Have you had your own weird experiences? We'd love to hear from you. Or just call up with any topic you'd like to discuss. We'll do our best to encourage you and keep it going. Stay tuned. We've got so much more coming. Open phone lines for the next 2 hours. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We're back here on Coast to Coast AM, filling in for George Norrie. I'm Dave Schrader. We've got open phone lines for the remainder of this evening's show, and I'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Wild Card. Line one, Charles in Elgin, Texas. Welcome to the show.
Hey, David. I just, what you just said, you know, I was going to say something nice about, you know, Steph Young and everything else. And I kind of live out in the woods out here. Well, I call it living, but you know, we got all kinds of strange creatures that run around in the night out here. And just recently, I had a kind of a, there's so much to say right now, David, because what you just said about your mom and everything else, you know.
Well, just take a deep breath and talk to us. We've got all night. What did you want to share?
Well, good then, because I usually feel pretty rushed when I'm talking to you.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling, Charles. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait,
go ahead.
Wait. I know, yeah, you know what I'm saying. But the thing is, a lot of things have happened, you know. I've been through this. The holidays are real, real hard, especially mm-hmm. like Halloween and stuff. But that's because there's so much to say. One of the reasons I was going to call in, I was mm-hmm. after saying, you know, how much I like Steph Young and she, you know, I love her. I love her voice. I love the way she, you know, she talks. And her stories are great, and it is so relevant to it kind of, you know, it's kind of spooky living out here in the woods. But
right now, you said there's all kinds of creatures and things. Now, are you talking about just the myriad of zoological beasts we already know of, the lions and tigers and bears?
Well, some things really strange do happen. I mean, I remember one night I was kind of walked outside. The way my dad built his house, you know, it's sort of, but I walked outside and I looked up at it was kind of a starry sky, you know, mm-hmm. and everything else. And I looked up on top of the roof and there was this big cat. And I'm talking about like a mountain lion mm-hmm. Just sitting there kind of looking at, I don't know if he was looking at me or what, but I saw this outline of him against the sky. And I sat there thinking, oh, yeah, I just, well, you know, I thought, well, that's interesting.
Right.
You gotta get used to this stuff. Of course, you got all kinds of armadillos and, you know, making noise. You kind of eat things that jump, some rather big things.
Okay.
That I don't even know what they are. They'll land on the roof. You know, they jump out of the trees or something, and you hear this big thud. And you know, it's like, what in the world is that? You know, but regardless of that, it can get a little scary out here. You know,
sure.
I guess if you want, I'm not really scared by it. It's just like, okay, this happens every day. You know, it's like happens in the woods. But the more important thing that I wanted to talk about was I needed to make some kind of point for there to be a better world. Me and my dad did have kind of a mission and a project that we always did. It was just part of our life. We didn't make it a formal thing or announce it to the world or anything. But, you know, my dad was always, I mean, my dad, oh my God. My dad ended up our story is real interesting partly because we're weird. We're really different. I mean, we haven't had a life that was in any way, despite me always wanting to kind of be just a normal, regular guy, you know, and all that kind of business.
What's the fun of that, Charles? You should always live to be weird. That's the best part of life, man.
You know, we could do a whole show on, you know, just a small part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but my the thing is, a lot of my life was not with my dad because he was a prisoner of war for a bunch of years. For a long time, and he was in the military, and of course, he kind of went into it, you know, his family was sort of starving, and he had to go, he sort of picked the first door, I think he said on the left, you know, over in Dallas, he was born, you know, he was born not that far from Dallas, out in a little small town up there mm-hmm. in that area of Texas. He was amazing.
That's good. So you had a good relationship with him overall?
Well, oh yeah. Oh gosh.
Great.
You know, all I ever wanted to do was be with my dad. I mean,
that's
all
awesome.
I ever wanted to do was be with my dad, my whole, mm-hmm. whole life. But I ended up kind of like with, you could say temporary people because, you know, there's the day my dad, I'm calling Bill. The day this guy Bill was captured, you know, his wife, she died. She was killed in a car accident. She was killed in a car accident.
Okay.
And so you know, all the kids were all left with, you know, there wasn't, we all in different directions, all split up, all, you know, and all I ever wanted to do was be with my dad. Our story is so complicated. I try to explain it to like, you know, you try to talk to bureaucrats and things like that these days and try to explain, you know, the situation. And it's just so.
You were close. You loved your dad. And was he close with you as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we lived out here in the woods together, you know, by ourselves, you know, I'm the only one. I've been here for, I don't know, it's been decades and decades and decades. We've been here. I mean, my dad, I had been trying. I mean, when he came back after being a POW and everything else, and I, you know, I kind of went with his space to kind of get himself together. He was really, and of course, he didn't know he was a POW he didn't know.
And at the end of it, Charles, you guys, you spoke, you let each other know, you knew where the love was at all times, right? Has that made losing him a little bit easier because you guys had that close?
No, because the problem is, first of all, I'm learning that the world has no empathy. That there really, there's a lot of fake empathy. I've had a lot of people say, oh, yeah, you know, and they're going to help me out and everything else, and they're going to do all this stuff. And, you know, and they know how devastated I am. They know I can't drive. You know, I can't tell you. It's sort of a bureaucratic thing having to do with the driver's license, but it's also I had finally got to the point where my double vision was okay. My eyes had been messed up because of these bad prescriptions and stuff like this. Long story, but the thing is, I finally had trained my eyes to be able to not have double vision. Then, of course, my dad was then. My dad
you've
was
got.
Murdered.
Oh, then Charles, I'm sorry
murdered.
To hear that.
Uh-huh. This year, nobody, because of how weird we were and how strange we were, you know, my dad was an artist, my dad was a writer, you know, I mean, he was unique, but at the same time, my dad was a hero when he was in boot camp he rescued a whole burning building full of people. Because when he was in boot camp, he didn't learn to follow orders. He didn't wait for orders. He went in and started rescuing people, and at the risk of his life, because he had asthma. He knew that smoke could kill him, and he went in there the first time. He just ran in. That was his first impulse, was to go save people.
But see, then I want you to take notice of that, Charles. And unfortunately, we are up against the break. I've got to let you go on this. But I want you to notice, it's easy to turn into the dark side. That's what Tim saved me from a week ago by kind of helping me reevaluate. You started off by saying that there is no empathy in this world and that it's full of false empathy. And that's not true. Your father was an example of that. Your father was a brave man and a hero, as you said, and he put himself before others. So there are more people like that. I know people like that. I know law enforcement officials and military personnel and friends and family and people that have put themselves in the line to help others selflessly without worrying. And sometimes in the face of death and in the face of mortality, people lose themselves and they don't know what to say, and they'll make false promises and they say something more to make themselves feel better than you. But it doesn't mean that they don't care. Sometimes they just don't have it in their power to be more than they could be for you. But I hope you find some peace in knowing that you had a great relationship while your father was here with your father. And that's a lot more than many people have had in their lives. We'll come back and continue with your phone calls. I'm Dave Schrader sitting in for George Norrie, and this is the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. Hey, thank you very much for tuning in and being a part of my world. If you like what you're hearing tonight on the show, you can join me Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight Central Time on Darkness Radio. We are the best in overnight talk radio and on Coast to Coast AM, or you can listen to the best in paranormal talk radio with Darkness Radio. What's great is our show is on Twin Cities News Talk Station, AM 1130 in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And right after our show wraps up, George Norrie and Coast to Coast continues your journey into the strange and unusual world around us. So you get double the fun, double the time, 7 hours of pure entertainment Monday through Friday with Darkness Radio on Coast to Coast, and then continue on with Coast to Coast Saturday and Sunday nights as well. This evening, we have open phone lines. We'd like to hear from you. You can give us a call, be a part of the show. And remember, if you've missed any part of tonight's show, you can become a Coast Insider. Comes down to 15 cents a day for a one-year subscription. Gives you access to the last 5 years' worth of shows and a lot of exclusive content on the website. And if you like what you hear on Coast to Coast AM, check out George Norrie's TV show, Beyond Belief, at beyondbelief.com. You'll get to see much of what you hear and a more in-depth look. So check it out for yourself, beyondbelief.com. Let's go back to the phone lines. First time caller, Johnny in California. You're on the air. Johnny, are you there?
Yes, this is Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, what did you want to share with us this evening?
Wow, it's amazing. I've been listening probably for about 4 or 5 years, and first time I've ever got through.
Well, I'm glad you made it in. What's your topic for me here?
Dave, I can tell you a whole lot of different topics. But I was thinking to what you guys were talking about strangeness out in the mountains. I've had three personal experiences with Bigfoot. And I have three stories, and I have actually a number of other stories that did happen to me, but maybe I'll save that one for the end if we have time.
Sure, go ahead. Let's hear your encounters. Now, how do you know this is Bigfoot? I mean, did you physically see the creature?
I've seen
him. Wow.
All right.
Can you tell us where?
Say again?
Can you tell us where?
Yeah, sure. It was in Mount Lassen, the extinct volcano.
Okay.
Northern California. 1973, I was... Oh, also, before I start that up, I want to say sorry about your loss with your mother. Your words were really profound, and I had the same thing happen with my mother. And I had time to talk to her and to get a lot of things cleared up, and it did. It made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, you've got to be open and share. Don't hold back when you're with loved ones. Let them know always how you feel. I appreciate that. So now you've seen this. You've seen Bigfoot three times?
Well, I've seen him once, and second time he was he was actually throwing rocks at me. Third time was also up in Mount Lassen. It's actually in a small town called Shingletown, up in Mount Lassen. National Forest, and I used to live up there, a small town called Shingletown. But anyway, the first incident happened. I was camping out with six other boys. We were up there spending the night on the volcano, Mount Lassen volcano. And it was getting dark, and one of the boys that was in our group said, "Hey, I'm gonna go out and walk around." And I didn't know these five other boys real well. We were friends in school. And I said, you know, that's not a good idea. You know, you don't want to go walking out there because it's a lot of cinder and it's pitch black out there. You could literally walk off a cliff and die. Anyhow, this kid takes off. That's in our group. We got a fire going. It's just starting to get dark. And I tell these other guys, I said, "Hey, somebody's got to go out and bring this guy back. He's going to get hurt." And no one did nothing. And so I'm sitting there, I'm waiting for somebody to get up and help go after this kid. And no one did. And I said, "Well, you know, no, that doesn't sit right. I got to go up and see what I can do to help this guy get him back." So I take off on this trail. And I'm walking along, and I'm yelling this guy's name. No response, no nothing. And I'm guessing, I was young too. I'm guessing maybe 50 yards away. It may be close to 100. And so there's the kid that I'm looking for, then me. And I, all of a sudden, I hear the scream, this scream of a huge animal. And it was like nothing I'd ever heard before. It was, and it wasn't just one yell. It was, it's kind of, it's actually hard to put into words. It was strange because this animal, I could see it. There was a small gully, and it was standing on the other side of the gully. And this screech was a guttural, and it was huge. You could tell it was a huge animal by how low and deep it was. But it was the strange thing was this, is that it sounded like it was literally right next to my ear. It was bizarre. Anyhow,
yeah, I've heard that from people. Even though you can't see it, it sounds like it's right there, and it makes me wonder if it's more of a telepathic scream.
Well, that's the whole story. That's a whole other thing that the third story will lead into that. So this thing screams, it yells, it's hard to put it into words. And I look across the gully and I can see it. And again, it was low light, but I could see the animal. I didn't know what it was. I never even heard of Bigfoot before. So anyhow, this animal standing, and it's a humanoid, you know, two legs, two arms, one head, dark fur, and scream. And it was close to me. It was probably only about maybe 25 yards away. But there was a deep gully between them. Anyhow, so the scream comes out. And I'm frozen in my tracks, right? I'm scared. Well, the kid that I'm looking for comes running past me. And he's running back to the campfire. And he doesn't say a word to me. He just went straight past me. Okay? So I start running. I'm running back now because I'm scared.
Right.
And here's what happened.
Okay, I need you to wrap it up real quick on this story. We got to go to a commercial break, but yeah, please let me know what happened.
Well, what happened is that there was another kid that took off looking to help me.
Right.
Followed up behind me. I ran into him on the trail and yelled to him. I slowed down. I told him, run, just run. And I just kept running. Well, he goes, yeah, right, you guys are playing a game or whatever, you know. And so basically we all three made it back and we sat around the campfire the rest of the night, frightened and scared. Well, I thought that this was like a man in a suit, maybe a deer hunter.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning I said, we gotta get a hold of the Rangers and not laugh at the Rangers. And we did. And I said, you know, I made it a point. I was one of the older kids in this group. I said to the ranger, I said, hey, someone was out here, could have killed him. We could have had someone get killed. And the rangers actually got footprints. And it was a Bigfoot.
Wow. We need to take a break, Johnny. When we come back, tell us the third story, and we've got a lot of other calls we've got to get to, but I'll give you a chance to tell the other story you referred to earlier, the third story, and we'll get to that when we come back. Stay tuned. We've got more coming your way. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We're back on Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We're taking your calls this evening. If you have thoughts or your own weird experiences in the woods, we want to hear from you. Johnny from California on the line with us. Johnny, we got time for one more quick story, and then I've got a bunch of other calls lined up. So you had another story you said when I mentioned the telepathic scream.
Okay, that was the last one.
Yeah.
There's one that happened in 73, 75, and then one that happened at 2006.
Okay.
I was living in Shingletown. And I'll tell you, Dave, when you see a creature like this, it's not like a neat thing. It's pretty frightening, man. And over time, you know, occasionally I have nightmares about Bigfoot after seeing him when I was young.
Right.
But anyhow, so I'm living up in Shingletown, which is a town at about about 5,000-6,000 foot elevation. It is a small town, you know, probably about 5,600.
Okay.
Anyhow, I'm living on a cabin up there, and I went to sleep, and I started having nightmares about Bigfoot. And I started thinking, like, he was outside. I mean, this is up in the woods. I mean, way up in the woods, this shingle town. And I'm dreaming about it, and I'm thinking that he's actually running around outside the small cabin that I'm living in. And I'm, you know, I don't see nothing, and you know, like tripping. I'm going, I'm just having a bad nightmare. This goes on for a couple days, and I end up finding out that down the road there was a KOA campground. And at the same time, I was having these nightmares, which I hadn't had ever in years. Suddenly I start having them, and Bigfoot was spotted at the KOA campground.
Wow.
At the same time, I was having nightmares about it.
So do you think you were kind of under a psychic attack from Bigfoot?
Well, I don't know about a psychic attack, but like a connection. And I have some friends that are really, really, that actually have the same kind of things that happened up in Mount Lash to them, too. They grew up with me as kids. And this one friend of mine told me, he said, I believe that Bigfoot does have telepathy ability, psychic ability. And I didn't really think that it was true, but now I really do think that it does.
Very cool. Johnny, well, you've hit the trifecta, even though you're saying that it's not something people should really want to see or have that experience. What an amazing tale to share. Thank you very much for calling in. Let's go. Wild card, line two. We've got Sid in Abilene, Texas. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Sid.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to share with us today, Sid?
Well, me and my wife had a both seen two Bigfoots on the bar ditch, one between Big Lake and Ozona.
Uh-huh.
And we were driving down the road. We was counting eyes because it was late. It was probably around 12 o'clock. And we were counting deer eyes on the side of the road to stay awake. And I was looking down in the floorboard. My wife says, there's a deer. And as I was raising my eyes up, I come right eye to eye with this thing. And I said, no, that ain't no deer. And my wife says, that's a bear. I said, no, that ain't no bear. And we got closer to it. She said, what is that? And I'm looking at it, and I said, I don't know for sure. And I knew what it was, but I didn't want to say it yet.
Right.
My mind was just spinning because I never had seen anything like this before. It's like a free wheel spinning, trying to find an animal that I know of that looked like this. But none of them did. And anyway, we got a little bit closer, and the Bigfoot, he got up about the fence. They were bumping into each other. Two of them were bumping into each other, and she fell down, and he got up by the fence, and he was holding her, and she couldn't see her face because her face was buried in his chest.
Okay.
And he gave me a look with his eyes. Well, I mean, I was looking right at him, and he was looking at me, and he had a look in his face, like his eyes, like, if I get a hold of you, if you bother me, I'll kill you.
Wow, and so not a friendly feel from our giant hairy bipedal friend, huh?
No. And then when we got into Ozona, I made a report at the police station about it.
How did they respond?
They responded pretty good about it because they said it sounded like Bigfoot to them. And I said, that's what I thought.
Had they had other reports in that area?
They said they did.
Very cool. Thanks a lot for calling in, Sid. Wildcard line four, Grant in Overland Park, Kansas. We have about 2-3 minutes left together in this segment. What did you want to share with us?
I want to share with you something very important. I've had abduction dreams where it's hard to explain. I've been in a ship. I've been there, and I want to give my number out so people can call me if they ever experience something similar. It's 913.
Yeah. Can't do that. Sorry about that, Grant. Can't give your number out over the air. Thank you for calling in, though. Let's go east of the Rockies. Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave, and doggone it, I need enough time to talk to you, so if you have to put me on hold through the break, we will. But listen, buddy, I've been wanting to talk to you since you've been guest hosting for George, and I can sympathize with you so much with your mother, because I lost my sister almost the exact same way, Dave. 15 years ago, she was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, just like your mom. And she went through 5 years of surgeries and chemo and radiation, remission, recurrence, remission, recurrence, and for 5 years. And sadly, 10 years ago, she died. But she told me, she said, Barry, she said, I've had 60 years with you. And she was 60 years old when she died. And she said, we have had some of the most wonderful times together. And I want you to just remember the good times. And this is going to be sad for you, and I know it is, but buckle up, buddy. You can take it. And Dave, that just saved me. I cried, of course, when she passed right there in front of me. But I swear, after about 2 days, I was almost happy. You know what I mean?
Right. I do. It feels strange. I feel like my world should be turned upside down. I do feel like I'm walking in a bit of a surreal territory, because it just feels like a weird world to be a part of now, where my mom no longer physically exists. But, you know, there was that deal. And that was the other part of it, too. You know, I was very upset about the way she died. And in talking to many lung cancer survivors and people that have survived the loss of loved ones, they said that my mom was extremely lucky to have such a short time, and it didn't ever progress to the point where it was brutal. I mean, my mom 2 weeks ago was still active and doing fine and able to talk to us and have a great time, and then this thing came like a thief in the night, and in a week and a half she was gone, and she didn't have to suffer.
At least I had several years to say goodbye to my sister, but you did not.
No, but like I said, I didn't need all that time to say goodbye. We'd already said everything we've always wanted to say in our life. And that's what I hope people took away from what I mentioned at the beginning of the show, is that, you know, love each other and say everything you need to say now. But, you know, instead of being hurt that mom got taken away so quickly, I'm pleased that it happened to a point where she didn't have to struggle and suffer and have to keep going back in and out of remission and more and more, because it was taking a lot of life out of my mom, and that wasn't who my mom was. So even in a short-term turnaround like that, I found solace in the fact that my mom did not have to suffer, and that we celebrated 49 amazing years together as mother and son, and as grandmother to my children and great-grandmother to my granddaughter. So We've had an excellent opportunity to kind of survive through that. We will talk to you again. We'll keep you online, Barry, and talk to you after the top of the hour break. And then we've got Jessica, Mike, Carlos, Dean on hold, and more calls ringing in. We're open phone lines this evening if you have anything you'd like to call in and share and talk about these weird creatures and weird things happening in the woods. Were you ever stalked by something creepy and bizarre in the woods? We'd love to hear from you. Do you believe it's aliens or monsters, elementals? Is it things that predate humanity? We'd love your insights and thoughts on it, so you can give me a call and talk. Or if you have your own topics you'd like to chat about, we're open and we're here for you this evening to share those stories. So go check out during the break coasttocoastam.com and see all of the great things that you can find there. George Norrie's TV show, beyondbelief.com, his new book. You can also find information regarding paranormaldate.com, everything that you could possibly want in a one-stop shop. Go check it out for yourself. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.